Check your speakers. This ain't a self-help song or another makeover song, but how it made me over. You dig?
I like me. Yo, you like me? Cause I like me. Do you like me? See, I like me. Cause he likes me. God likes me. Yo, you all like me?
I like me. Yo, you like me? Cause I like me. Do you like me? See, I like me. Cause he likes me. God likes me. Yo, you all like me?
Yo. Short, big nose, big lip. Kinda stuff to stutter, but I never trip. Got my daddy swag and I walk with a limp. Got a hot wife, no need to be a pimp. Never been cute, never been fly. Since I've been changed, got that twinkle in my eye. Got my grill fixed, now I smile when I speak.
Tell me who that is.
Yo, it's that Jesus freak.
That's your boy. I like me. Yo, you like me. Cause I like me. Do you like me? See, I like me. Cause he likes me. God likes me. Yo, you all like me.
Yo, you like me,
sir.
Cause I like me.
Juice in the booth.
Like see, I like me.
Why?
Cause he likes me.
That's the piece right there. Hey, I've been waiting a long time for this one.
I just smile. I'm so content, and I ain't even got yellow stones on my wrist. I hear the world say I'm supposed to be rich, but I don't buy that, man. I don't go with the trends. I go the whole mile, lose or win. I hope that's the impression that the CDs give. I'm more concerned about how they see me live than trying to get a house on MTV Cribs.
Hey, son.
I like me. Yo, you like me, cause I like me.
Yes,
sir. You like me.
That's the problem,
like
baby.
Cause he likes
yes,
me. God likes me.
That boy
yo,
feel good
like
right
me.
There, baby.
I like me. Yo, you like me, cause I like me. Do you like me? See, I like me, cause he likes me. God likes me, yo, you won't like
catch
me.
Catch his beat, baby. You feel that right there? Yo.
When the lights fade, I know that you see
more than my swagger, but it's you and me.
From the storefront church to the packed out floors,
they want an autograph, but I'd rather give them yours.
The ink don't fade, the crowd once more. The king's on stage, the final encore.
Can't believe it's me now chilling backstage. Big nose, big lips,
don't get your hands raised.
From Texas,
I
baby
like me.
Hey.
Yo, you like me, cause I like me. Do you like me?
Do you like me?
See, I like me.
I like
cause
me.
He likes me.
He likes
God likes me.
God likes
you
me.
You all like me.
You a size 12,
you
size 17,
size
22, he likes
you.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT.
Welcome
Gina
to the radio
Alexander
broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Just love me. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you happy today? You're full of joy? Are you? I'm going to ask that part again. Are you full of joy? Amen. If you intend to be strong, you have to have the joy of the Lord to be your strength. Without that joy of the Lord, you wouldn't make it. Amen. Jesus said, I give you my joy, that your joy might be full. But not only that, so that your joy might remain. He intends for us to remain joyful. In other words, through everything, you'll be strengthened to be able to endure. Now, the difference between just being happy and having joy is a big difference, because happiness comes from what? Happenings. Happen to win the lottery. Happen to get proposed to. Happen to land a good job. But joy doesn't come from happenings. It comes from your relationship with God. And so when you have a relationship with God, you're confident to know that you don't have to fear what bad could happen, because no matter what happens, His grace is sufficient. And his strength is made perfect when we are what? Weak. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So he gives me joy. Yes. Down deep in my soul. Amen. I want to talk to you with the title or topic or thought or tag to this message, a call to praise. Amen. A call to praise. This is, he says, know ye that the Lord, he is who? God. In other words, you need to know the fact, this fact, that God is the cause of all causes. You need to know that God is the power that be. Amen. We need to know that he is God. He is God, the creator. He is God. Amen. And look what it said. And it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. So we need to know that he has created us and we need to respect him on that level. Amen. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And we need to start fearing God and having wisdom about how we worship. Having wisdom about not only how we worship, but how we handle other people. We need to have wisdom on how we do things when it comes in the going in and the coming out. Amen. We need to have wisdom on our conduct. Amen here. And so he says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. And you know what? God has chosen us to be his people. Now, the first thing he said, we are his creation. But do you know that everything that he created is not always his children? Preach. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that he that had not the spirit of Christ is none of his. And so we can't just say we are all God's children. No, only those who accept Jesus Christ. He has made us sons by his death and resurrection. I wish I had somebody in the house. We need to understand that not everybody you meet is going to be a child of God. Not everybody that you see is going to be a child of God. The only thing that differentiates whether you're a child of God or not is whether or not you're a believer. Come on and say amen. And if you don't have faith, you're not a child. If you got faith, then you can wear that title that you are a son of God, because the Bible said that he that come unto God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Come on and say amen now. He said that we are the sheep of his pasture. Now, here it is where we find the problem most of the time, is that we don't want to be the sheep because we don't want to be led. Amen. And since we don't want to be led, sometimes he has to drive us. Sometimes he has to crack the whip behind us. The other day, my horse got out, and I went, and I was mad. I was thinking about some, I was like getting rid of that joker, and I was trying to catch her. She was running, and then I decided, I said, I'm going to take this whip because I ain't going to be running. My knee going to start swelling. And so I took the whip, got in the car, and I went down the street, and I cracked the whip. She looked. She took off running all the way back to the house. And sometimes that's how we are with God. We don't want to be led. We want to get out there and get loose. And then we have to have the whip cracked so we can go back to the place where we belong. Oh, come on and say amen in here. We got to stop getting drove to where we need to be and be led to where we need to be. Come here, some of us are like Jonah. Instead of us doing what God wants, we want to try to rebel. You can't fight God. Your arms are too short. I wish I had somebody. And Jonah got into a place where he had to be thrown into the sea, into a belly of a great fish. And, you know, he didn't have to go through all that, but he went through it because of his choice. And sometimes we go through a whole bunch of stuff because of our choices. But do you know that even though we make bad choices, God has a way of preparing a fish for us to get us to where we need to be, to do the things that we are supposed to do? Maybe you didn't want to do it 10 years ago. Now you find yourself in the very same place you said that you wasn't going to be. Do I have any witnesses in the house? And since God does it like that, I don't know how God gonna work in your life. I don't know how God, but I love the way God does what he do. Because if you look at it, and the whole time you start to go back and look back at what God has done, how you were here but now you are there, and when you start thinking about it, you say, you know what, I don't know how God is going to work this thing out, but I'm confident because he did it before that he can do it again. And that ought to bring a confidence in you to say that I'm not casting off my confidence, but I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart, and I'm not going to lean to my own understanding, but I'm going to acknowledge him in all my ways so that he might direct my path. Glory be to God. We're the sheep of his pasture. Since I said sheep, let's talk about sheep. David said, Lord is my what? Shepherd. Y'all with me? Y'all don't think y'all with me. Shepherd. And so if we're the sheep of his pasture, shepherd leads the sheep. But sometimes the sheep does what? Go astray. And if the sheep goes astray, Jesus says that the good shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes find the one that has gone astray. Lord, help me here. And since he goes and finds the shepherd, David, even in that psalm, said that he got a rod and a what? A staff. The rod is to get all the wolves and whatever else try to attack. But the staff is there and it's designed with a hook on it. So that if the sheep happen to fall, because in that area, they take sheep and they graze, but they also climb up on mountains and stuff like that, and the sheep might get lost. He drop in a crack. And sometimes we get caught in a crack. We get caught in a rut too, right? And what the shepherd does, he takes it and he takes the hook and puts it down and he picks up the sheep out of the crack. The thing that he could not escape himself, the shepherd brings him out. Lord have mercy now. We need to understand that some things you can't get yourself out of, but the Lord will deliver. The Hebrew word for deliver is a word that means that he snatches out by reflex. In other words, whenever I fall, it's God's reflex to snatch me, to catch me when I fall. I wish I had somebody. And so Jesus, he catches us and pulls us out of the mess that we get ourselves into. And so what he does, he pulls the sheep out. When he gets the sheep out, this is what he does. He breaks the leg of the sheep. He sets the leg back. He puts oil on the leg, and he mends it up and wraps it up, and then he don't expect the sheep to walk on his own. He picks the sheep up, lays him on his shoulder, let his head fall close to his heart so he can hear the heartbeat of the shepherd. And while the sheep can't walk, he feeds the sheep in his out of his own hand. He waters them out of his own hand. And pretty soon, the sheep forgets the fact that the shepherd was the one that broke his leg. Oh, come on and say amen. But when the sheep is put back down because of the kindness of the shepherd, he follows the shepherd wherever he goes. That's why David said, he leadeth me beside the still waters. I wish I had somebody. He leadeth me in a green pasture. Somebody say man here. And so what the sheep realizes is that once the shepherd puts me down and I can walk again, I'm going to follow him. Why? Because when I couldn't walk for myself, he carried me. When I couldn't feed myself, he fed me. When I couldn't water myself, he watered me. And so I'll follow him anywhere. Where he leads me, I will follow. Do I have anybody? Have you ever had your leg broken by the shepherd and the shepherd carried you when you couldn't walk? He lifted you out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and placed your feet on a rock to stay. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I'm the sheep that had to get his leg broke? I don't know about you, but I'm not going to lie and tell you that I've been everything I should have been, but I'm going to tell you the truth. There were some times I had to get my leg broke. I might have had all four of them broke. Oh, come on and say amen. But he carried me every time. He washed me every time. He cleaned me every time. He fed me every time. He lifted me every. I wish I had somebody in the house that said, I'm the same kind of sheep. I've been led because I've been in a place that he brought me out of. I'm following him because of all that I've been through. He was right there with me. He's a friend that's sticking closer than any brother. Do I have a witness? Oh, I'm getting close to the close, yeah. Oh, glory be to his name. Look at what he says in verse 4, and I'm about to get ready to go. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We got to learn how to come before God with thanksgiving. We need to learn how to come before God being thankful. And the problem is, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That must have been a problem. That must have been people coming in with complaints. It's too early. It's too early to be going to church. I don't feel my knee hurt. I got a headache. You know, complain. Coming into the gate, complaining. Let me tell you something about the gate. If you look at how it was set up, the tabernacle was set up in the wilderness, and you find that God positioned everybody according to tribe. And each tribe was on either side, and whatever side of the tent that went around the tabernacle, each tribe was in the place. But in the front of the temple, in front of the gate, that was called the tribe Yada, Judah. This tribe was Judah, which means Yada, which we get a word derived from that, which we call praise. And in order to get in the gate, y'all ain't with me. You ain't with me. In order to get in the gate, you had to go through a bunch of noise. You had to go through a place where people was praising God. You couldn't go through, oh, come on and say man. You couldn't get to the gate before you met somebody that was smiling and saying, hey, hallelujah. You couldn't get to the gate without meeting somebody that said, praise the Lord. And so if you're going to go in the gate, you got to come through Judah. You got to walk through praise. I wish I had somebody in the house that said, I've been there. Matter of fact, I'm Judah, and I'm going to look at you and tell you, praise the Lord when I see you. I'm not going to let you stay down. I'm not going to let you hold your head down and be discouraged. I'm going to lift you up and lift your spirit. I guarantee if you praise God, you will feel better. Some of us don't want to praise him, and we want to, oh, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. That's all we want to talk about. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. Everybody's been through trouble. Matter of fact, the Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are there to try you. And though some strange thing has happened, it's happened to everybody. And so you don't need to be thinking that you're the only one going through. But what happens is if you can get you some joy, and if you can walk through Judah and you can be happy about your trouble and say, Lord, I thank you for my trouble, because tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And I know that you won't disappoint me. You're going to make a way for me out of no way. You're going to open up doors that's been closed in my faith. Do you know that praise, come on and say man, is what we ought to be doing right now? Because it may not be like you want it to be, but if I could just praise the Lord, I know it'll be all right. I may not feel as good as I want to feel, but you better not let me get to praising him, because I know the devil wants you to feel bad. He keep reminding you of your trouble. Every time you pray, he put your trouble in your way. Every time you try to talk, he want them bring that stuff out of you. But I tell you today, if you can just put that stuff behind for a moment and decide, I'm going to praise. Do I have anybody that say, I don't care what I've been through, I still have joy after all that I've been through. I'm going to praise the Lord from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. I bless his holy name. Do I have anybody that say, I'm coming in the gate right? See, some of us don't come in the gate right, so that's why we can't get it right. He said, in into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. See, we can't even get in the courts if we don't know how to come in the gate. In other words, you can't get in God's presence if you don't know how to do it before you get there. See, we're waiting on God to come, then we praise him. He said, no, don't you wait on God's presence, his Shekinah, to show up and then praise him. You praise him before the Shekinah fall. You praise him before the Kabod, the glory of God, fall in a place. You need to make sure you lift up your head, all ye gates. I wish I had somebody. You need to make sure that you join in with David and say that everything that had breath praise the Lord. We need to make sure that we get together and praise God. David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I wish I had somebody. And then David gave a reason why. He said, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I prayed one time and the Lord heard me? Yeah, that's reason enough for you to lift him up. That's reason enough for you to praise him. Oh, glory to God. He said, into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him and bless his name. We need to lift up the name of Jesus, because he said, in the name of Jesus, we got victory, right? In the name of Jesus, we need to understand. He said, by that name, demons fear and tremble. The problem is that we don't fear and tremble. The Bible said, so what if some don't believe? Does it make the word of God non effect? No, the word of God is true. And so the Bible said that demons fear and tremble at the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. And since the demons fear, we ought to be rejoicing and mentioning his name as often as possible. But no, we don't mention his name. We got some other names. We got some other stuff that we like to talk about. But I'm going to mention his name, because if I got a devil on my trail, I mention his name, that'll stop him in his tracks. Oh, yeah. The Bible said that he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Come on and say amen. He said his name is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it, and they are saved. Do I have a witness in the house? Oh, glory be to God. But let me tell you something. You can't praise God and not have faith. I'm gonna get through in a minute. I know y'all ready to go. But you can't praise God and not have faith. Now, you can have faith and decide that you don't want to praise Him. But you can't praise God and not have faith. Because faith and praise go together. Amen here. I always say this, even in the biblical map where the land of Israel was divided out to the tribes, you'll find out that right in the heart and in the middle of Judah, there's a circle. If you look in the back of your Bible, if you have one, there's a circle, and that circle says Simeon. Simeon was right in the heart of Judah. Simeon implies hearing, and the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when you hear the word of God, it ought to put you in Judah. Y'all not with me, no. If you hear the word of God and you're in Simeon and you have faith, every time your faith gets to moving, it ends up in Judah. So if my faith went north, it was in Judah. If my faith went south, it was in Judah. In other words, whenever my faith gets to working, I automatically praise God, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And even though I don't see it, I praise God that it's coming. Even though I don't see what I prayed for, I'm still thankful that the Lord has opened up a door. Even though I can't see my healing and I still feel bad in my body, I thank God that with His stripes, y'all not with me, I'm healed. Even though I still feel afflicted, I know many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them. Do I have anybody? Come on, let's move from Simeon into Judah and praise God for your trouble. Come on, take a minute and praise God for him bringing you out. Take a minute and praise God for him blessing your life. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Hallelujah, praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, bless his name. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. Here's why we ought to praise him. Because of his goodness. You ought to praise God because he's been better to you than you can be to yourself. You need to praise God because he's a good God. And you know he's not good to you because you've been good. Oh, come on, be honest with yourself. You got to worship in spirit and truth. The truth is you hadn't been good, because God still is good to you. He's good when you fall short. He's good when you miss the mark. He's good when you fall short of the glory. He's good when you sin. He's good when you don't make it. He's good when you're not your best. He's still a good God. I wish I had somebody. Come on, tell the truth. God didn't bless me because I've been so good. He's blessed me because he's been so good. Oh, I wish I had somebody in the house. Oh, yeah, you know, you can't be good enough to make God bless you. Even at our best, we are as filthy rags before his presence. And since even at our best, we're still no good, we got to remember that he blesses us because he's good. Oh, come on and say amen in here. If you know the Lord is good, you ought to say hallelujah. He's a good God. But not only, he said, the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. Not only do I praise him for his goodness, but I praise him for his grace. Oh, come on and say amen. His grace and mercy is what brought me through. What about this mercy? Mercy is when God decides not to give you what you deserve. Preach. In other words, I deserve death, but God said, no, I'm gonna hold it back by mercy. I wish I had somebody in the house. I deserve unrighteousness to come because I sowed some unrighteous seeds, but thank God for the mercy. Anybody in here feel like that? God didn't give you what you really deserve. You deserve nothing, but he bless you with something. His grace and mercy. In other words, when I start thinking about the grace, mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. Oh, come on and say amen here. Oh, yeah, but grace is God giving you what you really don't deserve. He gives me what I need even though I don't deserve it. He still blesses my life even though I'm a wretch undone. He still keeps me even though I sometimes don't want to be kept. Do I have anybody in the house today that say that the Lord is good? His mercy is everlasting. So I praise God for his grace, but then I praise him for his guarantee. What did he guarantee? He said that, and his truth endured to all generations. Now, when I start thinking about this psalm, and I realize he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, that he is God. He had made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. You should have been praising. And his mercy is everlasting. But then he said, his truth endure to all generations. You need to realize the guarantee here is that just the way God saved me. I know you've been worried about your children, but the same way God saved you, that his truth will go down to them. Do I have anybody? The same word that healed you will be the same word to heal your children. The same word that kept you will be the same word that'll keep your children. Do I have somebody in the house? The same word that comforts you will be the same word that comforts your grandchildren. Come on and shout a yes in here and give God some praise. He said it endured to all generations. So no matter what the word goes through, the word will always be here. Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away before my word pass away. Do I have anybody? Somebody say yes here. They say, I want to be like the woman who, when Jesus walked up to her, or when he was sitting at the table, and she said, heal my daughter. And he said, I can't give the bread to the dogs. And she said, but sir, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. Do I have anybody? If you understand what I'm saying here, if I can just have a crumb, if I can just have one word, if the Lord just speaks to me one time, I know I'll get what I need. Do I have anybody that said one word? When he woke up on the boat with Peter, he said, peace be still. Do I have anybody? He said, let there be. And there was. Put the sun in its place, and the sun still shines. Put the moon in her place, and the moon still shines. I wish I had somebody. Come on and give God some praise. Anybody in the house, realize we ought to praise him. Let me give you another reason to praise, because he came down and died through 39 prophets, fought in two generations, took up an old rugged cross, representing my sin and yours, went up Golgotha's hill, laid down on the cross, said, no man take my life, but I lay it down. That's why we ought to praise him, because of what he's done. They hung him high, stretched him wide, he bowed his head, and there he died. But I'm telling you something else we ought to praise God for is that he didn't stay dead on the third day. And as my old pastor would say, early, early, early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Anybody know this power? Power to make me praise him. I got joy in my heart, so I'll praise him. Come on and say yes. Anybody got joy? Do you even have peace? He said, if you keep your mind stayed on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace. Come on and shout yes and give God some praise. Why do I praise him? Because he's been good to me. Why do I lift him? Because he's been good to me. If I can't say nothing else, I'll wave my hand and say, thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful, Lord, for where you brought me from, through danger seen and